With my lesson tonight, I would like to talk about what a woman's work is in the church. And I've had that question recently, and it's a very good question, so I thought I would speak on it tonight. In the future, and I've had a chance to talk to the elders a little bit, I would like to do a few things that involved our young ladies in some training. One would be for our girls, and I think Scott Flatt tonight, I think, is when we do our first boys training, right? You're going to be working with our boys right over here. So boys up through, I don't know if we have an age limit or not, through maybe middle school or something. Over here, Scott's going to work with you with song leading, I think, probably tonight, and maybe some other things, and perhaps get some of the other men as we go to help you with that. But if you go in the room over here, he'll be working with you. And I also, maybe starting in March, like to have us start working with some of the girls, young girls, some of the things that they are doing in their service to the Lord. And then after we complete our Monday evening series for the young people, that's usually on the first Sunday of the month, but sometimes we have to change the schedule a little bit, I want to break them up into the boys one class, the young ladies another class, and this is middle school up, I think, for that one, and be working on some things with them that they can do in service for the Lord. As we talk about the woman's role in the church, we need, first of all, to make this point that a woman's work is as important as a man's work. And I see that I've got a typo, Ephesians 4:6. It should be Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. If you'll turn your Bibles over there with me tonight, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. And here Paul is talking about the church and talking about unity, and he's talking about our work together. And he says in verse 16, "Whom the whole body," that being Christ, "being fitted and held together for what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part." Now I want you to notice that each individual part of the body of Christ is working, and it has a proper working. There's a proper things to do and improper things to do. Proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. In other words, we need each individual member doing their proper work, men and women alike. And it does not say that men have more important work or women have more important work. We need each individual person, men and women together, doing their work. We sing a song sometimes, number 620, "Room in God's Kingdom." And in the song, at the end of the chorus says, "There is work that we all can do." And that's very true. Tonight, we've got some of the boys. They're going to be working on some things, growing and maturing and working on those things. Hopefully, pretty soon, some of the girls will be working in another room on some things they can be doing. Each individual part doing their work. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 16. And this is very interesting. When you come over to Romans, and here the Apostle Paul is writing to them, and he is giving greetings here at the end. It seems like there's a chapter's worth of the whole thing. In Ephesians chapter 16, and we can't go through all the verses here tonight, but we look immediately at verses 1 and 2, and we look at Phoebe. And this was a woman in the church, and she was a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. And we go on down to verse 6, and we see Mary, and we go down to verse 12, and we see Tryphena, and we go on down to further, and we see Tryphosa and Persis and Julia. All of these are workers in the church. And as you read down through here, I didn't try to get a percentage of how many are men and how many are women, But there are a great deal of women listed here, and they were very important to the work of the church in Rome. And so we notice immediately, this just being one illustration, that women have a very important role in the work of the church. Now it is true, turn your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, that women do not take leadership positions, public leadership positions, where there are men and women assembled together. Now, when there's only women assembled, they do. Such is the case with our ladies' Bible class. A woman teaches that class. I've never been in that class. I have no idea what it's like in that class. But I know there's a woman teaching, and I suspect there's a woman who leads a prayer. That is leadership among women. And we need good women leaders, not only in this congregation, but in every congregation. Let me tell you something. Where there are no good, strong women leading in a church, you're going to find a weak church. And we'll talk about some of the things that they're doing as they're leading amongst themselves as the women, and the other things that they are doing within the congregation. But when it comes to the assembly with men and women, wherever they're assembled together, men have the leadership. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and beginning in verse 11, a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. One of the wonderful lessons that women teach in the church is how to be respective to authority. We all have authority that we are subject to. Of course, we're all subject to God. We're all subject to civil authorities. If you're at school, you're subject to your teachers and your principals and administration. If you have a job, you're subject to your bosses and your boss's boss and your bosses and boss's boss and on up the chain. Everyone is subject to someone. And it's a wonderful thing as we see the women in the church and in the home demonstrating what it means to freely subject yourself to authority. We need those lessons. Everyone needs them. Men, women, children alike, we need those lessons. This is God's plan. Men have the leadership. When men are present, men are leading. And I want you to just think about all the religions of the world. Think about the heathen religions where women have taken the leadership role. What happens with all of those religions? I'm not necessarily saying anything bad about women as a gender, but the fact is this, is God's plan, and if we do not go by God's plan, that is sin. And that leads to even more sin after that. So all of us as Christians, we respect God's will. He said this is the way that it is, that men have the leadership, they teach, they exercise authority over one another, and we respect that because that is God's plan. But in society, God has not made that distinction. And we go to the Bible, and we can talk about a number of ladies. Lydia is one in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. She was a seller of purple, and it sounds like to me she had her own business, was very profitable, and we would call her today, she was a wheeler-dealer. She was a go-getter. She was one who was very active, and she could have a fabulous business to be dealing with a very lucrative market. We could talk about others. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Notice that she buys a field and plants a vineyard, that her gain is good, that she sells garments to tradesmen. And so again, this woman is one who is very active in buying and selling, having a business, and it seems like she had a household with many working there, And so she was the boss over others in society. But when it comes to religion, she was submissive in her role to the men and their leadership. The same thing with Lydia. So God's plan is for the men to lead. As long as the men are present, men lead. If women, as they are doing, have a class all by themselves, then one of the women lead in that class. Now let's talk about some things that is very important for women to be doing. Beth gave me this suggestion as we were talking about these things. I had not thought about it as I was going through and I was making my notes, just preparing my outline. And she mentioned this one, prayer, and I thought it was a very, very good one. What is the most important thing we can do for someone else? What is the most important thing we can do for someone else? And that is to pray for them. Do we think about prayer that way? To approach God, to appeal to God on their behalf. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5, we don't have a lot of time to be looking at many scriptures, but I want to look at this one because as I went on and researched this a little bit, I found this verse. And this is talking about widows who are widows indeed. And it says, has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. Night and day. And so here we have an example of a godly woman. And she was a widow. Here talked about a widow who needed to be put on the roll. She didn't have money to sustain herself. She was beyond perhaps working and supplying her needs. She relied upon the church for all of those things. Perhaps she was very old. Perhaps she could not physically be doing anything else, but what could she do? She could pray. And she was praying night and day. There may be nothing else that any of us can do. May get to that point in life. We may be laid up in bed somewhere, but we can pray. Women, we need you to be praying. Women also teach and they evangelize. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And as we go through this, maybe you will be as impressed as I was that women have a lot to do. They have a big responsibility of the things that they are to be engaged in, and they must think, what can I do? What are the things that I'm able to do and be self-motivating and self-starters to go and to do these things. I'm not talking about men. Men, we do a lot of these things. I'm not talking about us tonight. Women, I want you to notice the power that you possess in just the example of your behavior. 1 Timothy 3:1. In the same way, you wives will be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Women, this is the power that you possess. That by your chaste behavior, you can teach and bring others to Christ without even saying a word. Now, this is spoken specifically within the marriage context. I want you to realize, women, the power that you have over your husbands, that you can get him to do what you want without even saying a word. That's the power of your influence. And not only in the marriage relationship, but also in the entire community, you have this power by your example. This reminds me of one of my best friends, Mark Neesmith. He married his wife, Melanie Neesmith. She was a Christian, been one for a very long time. He was not a Christian. He went around telling his friends that he was going to convert Melanie and her whole family to be Baptist within 6 months of their marriage. Within 6 months, he was converted to Christ. And she is largely responsible for this. It's because of her example. And Mark would be having this. He would ask a question, and she would just give him a Bible verse. That's all she would do. She wasn't trying to be his teacher or anything such as this. She would give him a Bible verse. And then his father-in-law tells a story. It wouldn't be very long, maybe late at night, and he'd hear this clunkety old truck coming down the road because here Mark had to talk about something. This is the example, one example, of the power women have to teach others. Let's go over to Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Here in this congregation, we see these things occurring. We see the very thing I'm going to talk about right now. Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5. And here the older women are teaching the younger. Titus 2, verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Older women, you have a lot of teaching to do. You have a lot of teaching to do in your example. You have a lot of teaching to do as you're talking with the younger women, as you're visiting, as you're going out for coffee, as you're going out for tea, as you're all of those things like that. You have a lot of teaching to do. And I think that's one of the reasons we have our ladies' class over here. Just give one opportunity for that. Teaching others. Our women teach our children. And you know, I'm really, really happy that we're doing this thing on Wednesday when the ladies have their class and all the men are teaching the classes. Because that shows us men how very difficult it is to teach some of these classes. It's very, very hard. I tell people this. It's harder to prepare for the one-year-old class than it is to prepare for the adult class. It takes much more effort over there to do that. And these other classes over here, you've got all the stuff you've got to cut out. You've got all the different things you've got to plan. You've got to keep the class moving and moving and moving and moving. And you can never stop. It's much more difficult to do. It's more time-consuming to do, and the ladies have to work very hard at doing that. They teach our children. In many ways, they're best suited to their God-given qualities. In many ways, they make better teachers. I tell you what, the elders were trying to figure out which men are going to be teaching these classes, and I tell you, it was hard to figure out who's going to be teaching that class back there. It's a hard class to teach. And fortunately, we have some men. I'm sure they're doing a very good job. But I tell you what, they're probably not going to volunteer to do it next quarter. I tell you that, because it's hard to do. And think just a moment about our elders and our deacons. Could we have elders and deacons if we did not have godly women in this congregation? We could not. It's absolutely necessary to have godly women married to godly men so that we can have elders and deacons. This demonstrates the importance of a godly woman's work. Godly women, godly wives, whether the men are elders or deacons, it doesn't matter, they are co-workers. And I've got to tell you something. Beth is invaluable in my work. I would not be nearly as effective without Beth. And some of the teaching that we do, some of the Bible classes that we do, you know, I just don't think that'd be possible without her there and us working together. Over in Romans chapter 16, verses 33 through 5, we see the example of Prisca. Your translation may say Priscilla. She is the Priscilla in the book of Acts. Prisca and Aquila. And I want you to notice there, as we read verses 3 through 5, we don't have time to read it tonight, that all the churches of the Gentiles were thankful for their work together. And it seems to me that Priscilla was invaluable as her and her husband traveled around from church to church preaching the gospel, correcting error, that she was invaluable as the two of them being co-workers together in their God-given roles went around teaching people the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to move on very quickly. Women also do the work of encouragement. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, Paul says, greet one another. And our ladies do a fantastic job of greeting, as all of us should be doing. As Beth and I were talking about these things, we talked just a moment about Polly and Irene, who may be about the most aged, maybe Elizabeth there. They're all sort of in that category. I don't know ages here. Don't forgive me now if I'm messing up on somebody's ages. And these three, as they come into our assembly, it's so encouraging and to be greeted by these and to speak to these, it's encouraging as they come and they do this. Cards, email, electronic cards, all of these things, these are all ways of greeting. Romans chapter 16 and verse 22, Tertius was one who was greeting them, and he was doing it by writing this letter. And our ladies are so involved in, so many of them involved in writing cards. And sometimes I hear about these. Nicole told me about her mother. And says that Pam goes and it seems like she writes at least one card a day. She'll write multiple cards a day. And that is one form of greeting and encouraging. Sometimes our ladies work with the Bible classes and they'll have them write cards to those who are sick and things such as this. And I tell you what, I've had the occasion a time or two to deliver these cards. And I tell you what, the cards that I bring are a lot more important than me being there. And it's the ladies who have worked to help our children to do these things. Telephone calls, I'll get a telephone call from Miss Irene, and it's just one of the greatest things of my day. Hosting and planning group activities. Melanie is involved in that. And Tom helps a little bit, you know, I'm sure, you know. But Melanie really is involved with doing that. And other ladies here and bringing others into the home. And that's very difficult. You know, Charlotte does a great deal of work on planning group events. I mean, let me tell you something. All of these things are important. And it takes the initiative of our ladies to say, you know, this is something we need to do. I can do this. And then to work on some of these things to help us have these opportunities to encourage one another. One way of encouraging is visiting, and I won't read James chapter 1, verse 27. You know the verse so well. Visiting means to personally go and to see and then to attend to the needs. It's not just charity. It's not just doing something because somebody can't do it for themselves or they don't have any money or they're not physically able to do it. But just because you want to be nice and boost someone up and help them a little bit. Our ladies of the congregation, they take food to the sick and the shut-in and they transport the elderly who can't drive. One lady of our congregation does Irene's laundry. She's very thankful for that. Picks it up, washes it, folds it, delivers it, and then goes back again, picks it up, washes it, folds it, and delivers it, and goes back again, does it over and over and over again. Ladies have gone over to another's house, done dishes, cleaned, taken out trash. And I never forget, not this congregation, maybe the ladies here have done this at various times, even here, but over in Leesburg, the ladies would get together and, you know, they would go, they would clean houses, do spring cleaning, they would paint, they would do all sorts of things. It's the ladies doing those things, not really the men. A few men may help sometimes, but basically the ladies, and all this is encouraging. And you know, the ladies are the ones that think of these things. It's not the men saying, hey, y'all want to go do this or do this or do this or do this. Ladies, you have a great responsibility, and you think about these things, and you have the initiative to do these things, not the men, so much of the time. Ladies are involved quite a bit in helping us prepare for our assembly. And I will take the time to read Mark chapter 15, and my time is going to be up, and this is my last point, so Paul, I might not be quite as good as you about staying on time, but maybe I'm not too bad off here. Mark chapter 15. And I want us to remember how important ladies were, women, female disciples, to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Verse 40, there were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Salmon. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him. And there were many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. They were very active in helping and ministering to him and while he was upon the earth preaching and teaching the gospel. Women often are involved in these things in the church today. It's important. What would it be like if no one prepared our facility? What would it be like if we came in and trash was everywhere and things hadn't been straightened up and things weren't in the order that they needed to be in? Not only would it be terrible for all of us who are here, it would be terrible for those who come in and we're trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. These things are absolutely essential. And oftentimes it is our ladies who are taking care of these things. Without these ladies, perhaps those who bake the bread, which would you rather have, baked bread for the Lord's Supper or crackers you buy at the store? Somebody has to do that work, and it's time consuming. Week after week after week after week, it takes time to do these things. And it is our ladies that do it. Well, this hasn't been an exhaustive list, but trying to emphasize the importance of a woman's work in the church and to give some of the things that they are involved in. Where there are no strong, actively involved women in the church, there will be a weak church. We could have the strongest men here that there were, but if the women weren't strong, we would be a weak church. We need strong women. We have, fortunately, strong women who are looking about, seeing what needs to be done, and taking that on usually goes unnoticed by everyone. And they never stop and they never faint. And we're thankful. We're thankful that they are here and doing their work. We'll extend the gospel invitation, 350. Number 350, I know whom I believed. Indeed, we believe in God, and we know that one that we believe in. And now we'll offer the invitation. If you're not a Christian tonight and you believe in God, you have the opportunity now to obey Him. You may not know all the things that you need to do. Well, we can help you with that. But if you believe in God and you want to obey Him, that's a starting point. We'll help you with the rest of those things tonight, and you can be baptized into Christ before you leave. If you believe, if we can help you tonight, won't you step to the front as we stand and as we sing?